Listen for the word of God as it comes to us on this resurrection day from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter. Be patient with me because the words are so tender and so beautiful. They almost bring me to tears. Early the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken our Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out towards the tomb, the two of them running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and they reached the tomb. And he bent down and he looked, and he saw the linens wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following and went into the tomb, and he saw where the linens were lying there, and the cloth that had been placed on the head of Jesus not lying there. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For as of yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she was weeping, she bent over and looked in the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there in white where the body had been laying, one at the head and one at the foot. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord." And when she saw this, she turned around, and there was Jesus standing, and yet she did not see him. She did not know him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what are you weeping for? For whom are you looking?" And supposing that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will come and take care of him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to God. But go and tell my brothers and say to them, I have ascended to God, your God." And Mary the Magdalene went and announced it to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them all the things she had seen. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you, but I think it's been a long Lent. First of all, when I brought up the idea that we weren't going to say the word hallelujah, people complained from here to the tither side of yonder. Said to the choir, "Not going to say hallelujah. We're going to hold it in." I heard Suzanne complain and complain and complain. "I'm a Southern Baptist preacher's daughter. We don't do that." During Lent, she was my cross to bear. And it has been a hard winter. I moved here from Kansas, where I'd lived for 20 years. We have snow, but we don't have ice. We didn't have church two different Sundays because of ice. There was one day that I left my car out on the driveway, didn't put it in the garage, and the doors iced shut. How do you people do it? Earthquakes? Ice? Fire? Tornadoes? How do you do it? It has been a long Lent. We are so weary. We are weary of the day. And yet it turns. And today is Resurrection Day. You're not going to stop saying that word now, are you? I remember when I pastored a church in eastern Kentucky. It was in the Appalachian Mountains. And it was a small church. And people had cut trees down from their land, put them on the wagons, and they were carried by mules down the creek, and they built the church from those logs. It was a strange climate that I didn't really understand the people. And most of the time when people saw me, the first thing they would say to me is, "You ain't from around here, are you?" A little bit scary, but the church was good and the people were kind. And the church came to me and they said, "We want to have a Good Friday service." I said, "Okay, I will need someone to play the organ and I will need someone to carry the light of Christ out of the sanctuary. And I will need people to read the scripture, and I will need people to dim the lights." And no one wanted to do it. No one stepped up to do it. And I finally said, "All right, people, if you want this, you have to step up." Well, there was a man who said, "Okay, I'll carry the candle out." And little by little, people volunteered to do the work. There was a woman in the church, and she was 98 years old. No bigger than a minute. And the doctor told her name was Granny Turner, the doctor told her that she was to stay in bed all the time because she had a heart condition. Well, her grandson went to visit her, and she was on her hands and knees cleaning the stove. Maybe that's how you live to be 98. I don't know. But Granny Turner had a bad cold, and she sent word to me that she wanted to come to the Good Friday service. I tried to get her not to, because she was so frail. But she said, "Sir, I don't know how many more Good Fridays I have in me." Hard to argue with that. So I went and picked her up, and she sat at the edge of the pew. She was sneezing and coughing, and we all felt concerned for her. Good Friday took place. In the middle of the service, candle of Christ is led out of the sanctuary. We sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And the man brought the candle halfway up, and Granny Turner turned around and sneezed, a sneeze that would blow Canadian geese off their migratory pattern, and blew out the Christ candle. We're all sitting there in complete darkness. And the man said, "Preacher, what do I do now?" Well, there was a man in the church who smoked a corncob pipe. He pulled it out of his overalls, lit the candle, and said, "I just want everyone to know that I saved the service." And the service happened. But sometimes I think we get to this place. It's resurrection. And we think to ourselves, "Well, what am I supposed to do now? What do I do with that?" We remember the story. Mary Magdalene got up to take care of things because she always did. That's what she did. She made the food. She took care of the family. She followed faithfully Christ. A woman who had no power was the first evangelist. The first evangelist. And the intimacy in this story, where she's weeping like there is no hope, weeping so much that she cannot even see who Jesus is. She thinks he's a gardener. She's willing to go and retrieve his body. Even death cannot make her unfaithful. She's willing to take care of his body, and that would make her unclean. But she's willing to do anything for her Lord. And all he says is one word: "Mary." And you can hear it. She bends down and says, "Rabboni, my teacher, my teacher." So in this week when we've talked about the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter, maybe we should stop concentrating on what the guys did wrong and concentrate on what the woman did right, because she is our example. Resurrections all around. Do you see it in the church? Do you get it? When I first came here, anxiety level was through the roof. Bill and Kenny came up to me and said, "We're not going to let community life die." And every week, just like Mary Magdalene, faithfully, they come up, make the coffee, make the tea, put out the food, and community life is going. Ron says, "We are going to have our potlucks." And every Sunday, first Sunday of the month, we have our potlucks. Suzanne Nichols hears the clarion call that we're going to be part of a disaster team. If there's a disaster, when there's a disaster in our area, a team will stay in our church. She hears that call. Ron and Bill go downstairs. They remake a room that was once a music room, and now it's there for the disaster team. I came here yesterday. There were lilies here. Bo and Kenny were cleaning. Mark and Mark brought even more lilies. Ron and Mike cleaned out outside. It's gorgeous. Do you get it? People are saying, "I'm going to make this happen." Mark says we need a Bible study and starts it. In this denomination, I think our conference minister said that we will close 270-some churches this year. In 7 months, 10 new members join this church. 9 of them have never been a part of a congregation before. That's about you. It's not about me. It's about you, because you do hospitality well. You know that hospitality comes from 2 Greek words meaning love of the stranger. And you do it well. So we get to this day and we see this empty tomb. What are you supposed to do? You know what to do. You turn the other cheek. You pray for the person who uses you. You come not as a leader, but as a servant. We pray for those who use us. You know what to do. I went to a restaurant 2 Saturdays ago. There was an older gentleman coming in the door, and I held the door open for him. And he was holding the door open for a man older than him. And they came through, and they said to me, "Thank you, young man." I especially love the young part of that. And my first thought was, that's what we do. That's what we do. We hold the doors open for each other. We offer bread. We offer the wine. We share our bread. That's what we do. My sister and her husband go and sit with her father-in-law every Saturday. He has Alzheimer's. I don't even know if he knows they're there. It's what we do. It's what we do. We encourage the downtrodden. We take care of each other. It's what we do. We come to the empty tomb today. We don't ask, "What do I do now?" You know what to do. You know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, then just be nice. It's really that easy. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.